This is our first vacation Bible school since before COVID, and it's only 2 days, and that's okay, because some congregations have done one-day vacation Bible schools, 3 days. There's never been a rule that says it has to be five. Never been a rule that says it couldn't be more than five, but two is going to be good enough, coming up this Thursday and Friday. And unlike traditionally when we've had them for just 2 hours, I went ahead and made them 2.5 hours, basically because I intend to incorporate 4 lessons within 2 days. And those 4 lessons are going to talk about teamwork and selflessness, leadership, and faith. And this whole vacation Bible school's really got to do with sports and stuff like that, that I really don't know much about, to be honest. If you know me, the most I watch in sports are like the sports scores after like the Super Bowl or the World Series. I don't watch sports. But I got the idea that there are usually teams and they battle against each other and there's a victor. Okay, anyway, so this is all done with sports in mind. And to help along with that theme, the VBS uses some cartoon animals that are supposed to be athletic. I thought to myself, athletic? Well, at least fast. And I've got some questions on that. The first animal is Blur the cheetah. And I know that cheetahs are supposed to be fast, but this one wears a cast. And I thought, okay, she's not that fast, but hey, you never know. Maybe she's fast enough with her cast. And then there's Bolt the wildebeest. And I don't know much about wildebeests at all. As a matter of fact, I can't recall ever seeing one, unless they're buffalo disguised as something else. But I've seen buffalo. And someone pointed out to me that wildebeests aren't necessarily fast, but they have great endurance. I thought, okay, that works. There's also Dash the antelope. I know antelopes are fast, but I think, you know, the cheetah's faster because they kind of catch antelopes. But anyway, then there's Fleet the falcon. I like that. I like the fact that they've done some alliteration. You know, I love that. Fleet the Falcon. And then there's Jet the Hare. I don't know what they could have used for hare to match with Jet. I don't know. Or Jet the Jackrabbit might have been good. But anyway, Jet the Hare. And, excuse me. I got some hair stuck in my throat. Never mind. Anyway, each... Hoss and Pfeffer. Each lesson focuses on a different text, of course, and each lesson has a different memory verse. And so to start us off on Thursday, what we're going to do is talk about how we could be a champion of teamwork, kind of like the article in the bulletin talks about. And the memory verse for that lesson is from our scripture reading today, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. And all of the text in the Vacation Bible School is taken from the New King James. And so in the New King James, that verse reads, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor." And really, if we were to give a good basic definition of a team, that is a good Bible definition, right? After all, the typical dictionary definition is somewhat similar, a little bit more specific. They define a team as two or more people performing interdependent tasks, working toward accomplishing a common mission or specific objective. Wow, that's wordy. Anyway, I like the Bible one better. Work together to get things done. How's that? Anyway, we can see this idea of teamwork, though, happening in the lesson's main text that comes from Mark chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. And this is what that text says. It says, "And again, he entered Capernaum," talking about Jesus, "after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" And so the 4 men in our text teamed up and worked together to bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus. And along the way, each did their part because they understood the teamwork principle of Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. You know, because when you think about it, there's a lot involved here, right? You've got to carry in tandem. You've got to constantly shift as this fellow moves around a bit. You know, someone's got to have the blanket. Someone's going to have this and that, or the mat or the bed, as it may be. You know, you've got to have all this stuff together. Just imagine everything that's involved even before that. You know, as soon as they got word that Jesus was in town, this man's four friends teamed up together and they carried him all the way to see the great physician to heal him. And I don't know how far that is, but even if it's from here to the street, that's a long ways to carry somebody, you know? Anyway, but together the four of them made it easier because they teamed up and they worked together. But, you know, when they got there, of course, the house was so crowded they couldn't get in to see Jesus. They just couldn't even get to the door. So did that stop the team? Did they just throw their hands up in the air and throw the guy down on the ground and say, we're done? Did they whine? Did they cry? They said, it's not fair. How are we going to get in? No, they worked together, right? They came up with a plan, right? They formulated, they postulated, they computated what they needed to do so that they can get their friend in to see Jesus. But rather just go in and do things, which they couldn't, they had to come up with a rather unorthodox way, right? So the four men carried their friend up to the top of the house. And I don't know about you, but carrying somebody is one thing. Getting them up to the top of a house is another. One story is all we're talking about. And I don't know how you do that without dropping somebody, but they managed it, right? At least we think they did, you know. Anyway, then they had to work harder still together in order to safely make a hole large enough in the roof to lower their friend, yet not cause the roof to collapse. They must have been engineers. I don't know. Because if I were to, I remember once years ago when there was some roofing done over here and someone stuck their foot right about there. You know, it's not that hard to do some damage to a roof, you know. So they had to do all this safely and work together as a team. And then they had to go ahead and lower their friend down through this hole in the roof, which sounds easier than what it sure enough is. I don't know how in the world they managed it all, but yet they did. They had to work together as a team to carefully lower him down this hole to see Jesus. So that way, the only thing Jesus had to heal was his paralyzed friend and not bring him back to life after they drop him on his head. But anyway, that's really something, again, you can't do by yourself. Not unless they had some winch and pulley and some elaborate thing, but they didn't. You know, I don't know what they had. But again, that's something you just can't do by yourself. Teamwork was involved. That's something that requires teamwork. Their teamwork made their dream work, and they got their friend down safely to see Jesus. And we're told that Jesus not only forgave the man's sins, but also healed him and enabled him to walk again. And those who saw everything were simply amazed, you know. And a part of me wonders if the people watching all this were not only amazed at Jesus' words and power, but were also amazed at this team of men who helped out their friend. I mean, if you think about it, we're stronger when we work together. And as we work together, we challenge and support each other to come closer to Jesus. And through our teamwork, others will see the rewards that come from being members of Jesus' team and prayerfully will want to join us. All right, again, the first lesson is how we can be a champion of teamwork. The second lesson that we'll also cover on Thursday is how we can be a champion of selflessness. Selflessness. And the memory verse for that lesson is taken from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where the Apostle Paul proclaims that as a Christian, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, when someone becomes a Christian, they put Christ first in their life so that the things that they now do the life that they now live, they live as a Christian. And that includes loving others and putting others' needs before our own, just like Jesus did. The passage that comes to mind is over in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, where Paul gives us some guidelines about really what he's talking about here in Galatians 2:20, saying, Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. The idea being, again, that in order for teams to be able to work together, they must become selfless, giving up thoughts of personal glory and work together as a unit in order to gain the victory for the whole team. And that's the same lesson that the Israelites learned at Jericho over in Joshua chapters 5 and 6. And what happened was, just before the Battle of Jericho, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joshua. And Joshua's first words to this angel were, "Are you on our side or the side of our enemy?" Well, the angel told him that he wasn't on either side, but that he was on God's side. In other words, Joshua had to give up the idea that this was going to be his personal victory. Even though God had put him in charge of leading the Israelites, it wasn't Joshua's victory, okay? Just like when someone is baptized into Christ here and maybe I baptize them, it's not my victory, it's the Lord's victory. Same thing with the Israelites here. It is God's victory, you see. And so Joshua had to put that aside, put his selfishness aside, and focus on God. Because it's going to be God's victory and God's alone. And that meant that the Israelites also had to give up their own ideas and work together to follow God's instructions on how to defeat Jericho, which involved a lot of marching and blowing of trumpets. And, you know, when you think about that, if you were in their position and you had come up with all kinds of plans of battlements and how to approach one side and the other, and you're maybe formulating all these plans, and then Joshua comes in and says, "The Lord told me to, we need to march around the city, and seventh time for 7 days, and seventh day we're going to blow some." They're going to like, "You're crazy, you know." But anyway, as silly as it all sounded to the Israelites, the end result was that the walls of Jericho did come tumbling down, and the victory was had by God's team. And then this all applies to us, of course, as Christians, when we say to ourselves, you know, we need to function the same way. And that's because we're all a part of the same body of Christ, meaning that every Christian is a member of Jesus' team, or Team Jesus. And so, just like Joshua and the Israelites, we need to give up our own selfish ideas about what victory looks like for us and follow God's teachings for us in his word so that our faith will be a victory that will overcome the world. All right? Again, the second lesson for our Vacation Bible School happens on Thursday, and it is how to be a champion of selflessness. The third lesson, that will be the first lesson on Friday, is how we can be a champion of leadership. And the memory verse that comes for that lesson comes from Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26, which simply says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." And, you know, so when you think about teams, every team needs a leader, but it's impossible for everyone to be a leader in a team unless, of course, you're leading someone to Christ. We're all supposed to be leaders when it comes to leading people to Christ. That said, teams, sports teams in general, according to what I've read, not exactly played, usually look to their coach and team captain for leadership. And that's because a coach is the one who leads the team through their practices and games while giving them all the necessary tools and encouragement needed in order to succeed. The team captain, on the other hand, well, that's the person who carries the support and the leadership of the coach out onto the playing field. And usually the player that rises up to become team captain isn't necessarily chosen by the coaches, but more often than not, they rise to the occasion from among the players. There's just something about that person that all the players gravitate toward, and hey, they end up becoming the team captain because that's the person with the personality, the skills, the finesse that everyone appreciates in guiding and directing. Now, the main lesson on how to be a champion of leadership comes from Judges chapter 6 and 7. And it takes a close look at Gideon, of all people. And when you think about Gideon, we look at him in the beginning of when he was first called by God, and Gideon felt incredibly insignificant. He said, no way, there's no way I'm going to be the person that leads Israel. I'm too small. I'm not good enough. Then he went ahead and he continually questioned God's faithfulness by putting him to the test over and over again. But it was actually those qualities of humbleness and sincere faith-seeking questions that helped him to be a good leader. You know, we often consider leadership to be the responsibility of a few privileged people, and Gideon felt the same way. You know, because he never saw himself as a leader, but he certainly rose to the occasion and became a great leader. And when it comes to you and me, you know, there are going to be those times when we're going to have to step up and lead. And most of the time, the best way to do that, of course, is by example. All right, the third lesson, again, is how we can be a champion of leadership. The final lesson, which is the second lesson on Friday, is how we can be a champion of faith. Champion of faith. And the memory verse for that day's lesson, or for lesson number four, comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, where Paul simply reminds us that as Christians, we walk by faith, not by sight. And while it's true that faith is developed on an individual basis, it's also shaped by a team. And that's where teamwork comes into play with our faith. Now think about it, because how does someone's individual faith help to support and benefit the team? Well, the answer really lies in how your faith is manifested, right? In other words, true faith is accompanied by action. There are all kinds of different actions that accompany our faith. Some people could be, you know, really into prayer, really into blessing others with whatever sort of things are needed. Some others might be rather vocal. Some might be good at doing, I don't know, other physical things or spiritual things. However it works, right? And then there's this complement that happens. To help us see this truth through this week, we're going to look at Saul's conversion in Acts chapter 9 and focus on how powerful acts of faith can show a change of heart. For example, when it comes to outspoken opponents of Christianity in the early days of the church, Saul was number one. He was the number one persecutor of the church. But then, of course, while he's on, you know, a crusade to destroy the church, Saul encountered Jesus on his way to Damascus. And it was then that Saul realized that he wasn't following God's will at all. And so after seeing the light, quite literally, that was Jesus, Saul gave up his selfish plans and devoted himself to following Jesus' leadership. And with the help of those who led him into Damascus, you might remember he was blinded on the road. He had to rely on his companions to lead him into Damascus. Without that help, without that teamwork there, probably wouldn't have got there so easily. I mean, it's not, if you've ever tried closing your eyes and just walking a straight line, not so well, it just doesn't really work out so well. So he needed the help of friends to lead him into Damascus. And then, of course, there's Ananias there in Damascus on Straight Street who helped Saul out, and told him what he needed to do. And so Saul acted on his faith, not only to get there, but to be baptized into Christ, of whom Ananias was the one who administered that baptism. That way, Saul then, known as Saul, could have his sins washed away and be saved. Not too long after that, Saul was just as zealous as he was before for the Lord, but now he's on the right direction, doing things for Jesus, and he's acting on his faith again. Acted on his faith to walk blindly into Damascus and then to be baptized. Now he's out there acting on faith, this time preaching and teaching about Jesus as the Christ in the synagogues and wherever he went, telling everyone that Jesus is the Son of God. And of course, those who heard Saul were amazed at his incredible transformation and the words of truth that he spoke. But it wasn't always easy. There were a lot of people who doubted his sincerity. Now, the lesson, though, for us on Friday is that every Christian should live in such a way that our actions show our faith in Jesus. That's it. The Apostle Peter says it this way over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, that we are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. In other words, our faith in Christ will help us to strengthen those around us, and their faith in Christ will help to strengthen us. It's that iron sharpens iron principle, right? From the book of Proverbs. The idea being that we can strengthen one another in our faith. So that way our faith can be stronger and help others to join Team Jesus. In all, every lesson this week over the course of 2 days will be how we can be empowered by Jesus so that we can be a champion for him. Again, those lessons involve being a champion of teamwork, champion of selflessness, a champion of leadership, and a champion of faith. And really, ultimately, the entire Vacation Bible School is about encouraging the development of faith, of the faith of all the children who attend and their parents, to a mature, saving faith and serving faith. And it's with that in mind that there's an overarching theme verse for the entire VBS. And that comes from 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, which reminds us, is that a word? I think I just made that up. Reminds us, it is in the South. All right, which reminds us that this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And that simply means, hey, it's all about our faith. Our faith in God, our faith in His Son and His Spirit, and His Word and His Church, and our faith in each other to be able to selflessly come together as a team and be the kinds of leaders that God wants us to be for all the young in faith that we come into contact with, and to continue to be there and to help lead those to faith in Christ. And if there's anyone who has maybe just come to faith in Christ, well, that person needs to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They need to become a part of Jesus' team, and they do that by recognizing they're a sinner and they need to change their life. In other words, repent and confess Jesus as the Lord, giving him their whole life and choosing to enter into his covenant promise by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of their sins, just like Paul was. And then rising up out of the water, be born again and live their life for Christ until he comes back again or we go to be with him. And of course, for those of us who are Christians, well, again, we need to keep being a part of Jesus' team and recruit as many as we can like Coach God wants us to, all right? So if there's anyone who needs to come forward today, As always, you're encouraged to come as together we stand and sing the psalm that was selected.